Chapter 15. Slaughter. The warm, smooth brandy burned its way down his throat, pooling in his stomach like molten gold. A novice drinker would have spluttered at the taste, but not even a grimace twisted Roy's lips as he set the glass aside on the mantelpiece. Flames burned cheerfully in the grate. Vermilion and crimson, orange and blue, all cascaded around a white-hot heart of fire, and Roy found himself unable to blink as the heat rose up to caress his face. He should be in bed, sleeping away the dark hours. He knew, in the back of his mind, that the morning would not bring a return to normality. He almost missed the dull paperwork and the routine monotony of signing his name on whatever document Hawkeye saw fit to put on his desk. At least in that there was a continuity and comfort. One day followed on much the same as before. It was hard to link the disordered, unruly tangle of his life with that strange bureaucratic piece of a week ago. It was almost as if it was another reality entirely. Where the city still ran fairly smoothly. The Fuhrer was a fool, and Edward? And Edward was still just a subordinate, one that would outlive him by years. Roy sighed, rubbing his eyes and wincing as the half-healed blisters on his hands stung. Of course, Edward had never been just anything. As a child, he was a prodigy. As a teenager, he had more dedication to his personal cause than most people found in their entire lives. Now, bordering on adulthood, it was hard to see how anyone could think that he was anything other than remarkable. He licked his lips, bowing his head as his mind slipped back to the night he had spent on the Hughes couch. That in itself wasn't exactly a unique situation. But to wake up feeling the nip of teeth on his fingertip, and the warm, firm stroke of Ed's tongue over his skin had sent his entire body into a throbbing twist of desire. A fair share of lovers had been between his sheets, but none of them had ever played him so very well. It had been innocent, at least to begin with. Edward might be secretive about his life, but his body language had always been brash and open. There was no way that the embarrassment he had shown when he realized that Roy was awake and aware was an act. He wasn't coy enough to fake such a charmingly guilty blush. For all his chagrin, there was something erotic about Ed's wide-eyed surprise, and the way his lips had parted just a fraction, utterly tempting. Roy smiled wryly to himself. His common sense had remained asleep, allowing his libido to take full control. The words were through his lips before his brain had analyzed the possible consequences. He hadn't meant to challenge Ed. He should have pulled away or said something smooth and dismissive. Instead, he had found himself murmuring a few suggestive syllables. "Don't let me stop you, Full Metal." There was a moment of blissfully beautiful indecision on Edward's face. It was as if he hadn't believed his ears, or was trying to calculate the risk of accepting the dare. In a second, determination went nova in those gold irises, and in one quick, taunting movement, his lips were wrapped around Roy's finger again. Some people might scoff, saying it was a mundane touch, a cheap tease barely worth mention. But even now, the thought of it made his knees shake. He twisted restlessly, pulling himself away from the warm clutches of the fire and glancing around the study. Another drink was out of the question. The haze of alcohol might help him forget the horrors of the station and the nightmare of his more distant past, but somehow it only brought the intense memories of Ed into sharper focus. He paced around, drawing curtains and straightening out the room as his mind continued its inexorable journey. Ed's teasing had come to an abrupt end, curtailed by a faint pinch of pain as the splinter was pulled free, and Roy had been left panting and needy, wanting to take him right there, damn it, and forget the consequences. Perhaps Ed had seen the raw desire in his eyes, too intense to be hidden. Whatever, he had beat a hasty retreat to the kitchen, and left Roy to muffle a groan of disbelief in his pillow. Things had already gone too far by that point, gathered enough momentum to make it impossible to stop. It was as if by breaking one rule, Roy had freed himself from the shackles of all others, and the cautions of his mind fell unheeded. In a matter of moments, he had swung his legs over the edge of the couch, shrugged into his jacket, and prowled along in Edward's wake. Everything was immaterial. Age, rank, circumstances. None of it mattered because, just for 1 minute, he could let himself forget everything but what he needed. A swift movement had Ed trapped against the counter, except that he wasn't a prisoner of the situation. Even now, Roy couldn't recall seeing a trace of doubt or wariness on Ed's features, as he had covered the younger man's lips with his own. Roy was always in perfect control of his alchemy, but in that moment, he had burned. Ed's surprise had melted away in a heartbeat, and there hadn't been the slightest trace of hesitation as he opened his mouth and returned the kiss fully, tasting and taking as his hips arched and shifted, grinding against Roy in a wordless plea. God, he had been so close. It had been a moment that hung in the balance, waiting for the pressure to tip the decision one way or the other. His body surged at the memory of how he had almost given in. In the end, it had taken all of his strength to break the kiss and step back, leaving Ed flushed and trembling as he made a tactical withdrawal to the sanctuary of normality, as if pretending it never happened could somehow undo what they'd begun. With an irritated click of his fingers, Roy extinguished the fire, plunging the room into darkness before he slipped out into the hall. A tipsy frown wrinkling his brow as his foggy thoughts curled in vapors. Of course, it wasn't that easy. How was it possible to abstain after a taste of the one thing you craved beyond all else? And when the hell had it gotten this far? When had Ed stopped being an irritation and become a fascination? At what point had he become an addiction just waiting to take hold? And in what life was that even fair? The frown became a scowl as Roy climbed the stairs. Despite the brandy, his tread was still quiet, automatically timid so as not to disturb either Ed or Al from their sleep. He moved like a ghost along the hallway, his bed calling his name, empty as it was. Only a faint noise made him pause, a twitch of adrenaline burning off some of the alcohol and focusing his gaze on the door that stood ajar to his right. Ed's room. Hesitantly, he reached out, his hand splayed in a pale shape across the dark wood. He paused for a moment, before pushing the door aside. The hinges whispered a token protest, but the sound was barely audible, and Roy stopped on the threshold, transfixed. Moonlight bathed the bed, and the cool night was edged by the breeze that swirled through the open window. Curtains fluttered, thin veils of fabric that ghosted in the grasp of the zephyrs. It was cold enough to raise goosebumps on Roy's skin, but he barely felt their prickle as his eyes were drawn to the figure sprawled on the mattress. Edward lay on his front, his arms stretched out to take all of the available space the double mattress had to offer. The sheets and blankets were twisted low around his hips, clinging lovingly and creating secretive shadows at the base of his spine. He'd fallen asleep in his braid, and several strands of gold had tousled themselves free to trail across his skin, turned ivory by the moon. Color had been drained away, bleached by the echoed light that clung to the room like quicksilver. Only the metal of Ed's automail was true, dark steel made precious by reflections of dead sunlight. Roy drew in a breath, his eyes taking in the supple sweep of Ed's back and the broadness of his shoulders. For all his youth, there was nothing childlike about his body, and Roy's imagination was only too happy to provide what the sheet concealed, tormenting him still further with the need to map Ed's physique for himself, to touch and taste every rise, fall, and ridge of flesh. The noise that had drawn him in came again, escaping Ed's lips in a gasping growl that shot along Roy's nerves and pooled low in his belly. It was definitely not a sound of distress, and for the first time he noticed the faint flush on Edward's cheeks and the gloss of sweat across his shoulder blades. With a restless twist, Ed shifted, pulling the sheet lower, and Roy barely choked back an appreciative sound of his own. Roy's fingernails bit into the wood of the doorframe as Ed's mumbled purrs framed a name. His name. It was almost an invitation. It would be too easy, too natural for him to slip into bed next to the sleeping young alchemist, to kiss those lips and taste his skin and slake his appetite for everything that Ed had to offer. It felt as if his body was locked in place, torn between the need to step forward and the utter certainty that it would be best to turn away. Finally, with a forceful push of his hand against the doorframe, he shoved himself out into the corridor. It hurt, that fractional distance. Even though he had no right to be there, to be watching Ed at his most vulnerable, it felt like some kind of betrayal to turn away. With a choked sigh, he closed Ed's door behind him and stumbled the last few steps to his own room, too tired and frustrated for grace or dignity. Shutting the door, he twisted the lock forcefully, more to keep himself in than the world out. Shaking fingers pulled at his buttons, shedding his clothes and abandoning them in a pile on the floor before he stumbled into bed. The sheets slid over him, cool against the feverish burn of his skin, as he tossed and turned, too caught up in his body's demands to find any peace. His eyes drifted shut, and he swallowed tightly as his hand trailed down his stomach and beyond, brushing against his straining erection. A groan caught in his throat, rough and hoarse as he wrapped his fingers around himself and began to stroke, imagining Ed's flesh palm in the place of his own. He could almost feel the lithe body wrapped around him, moving against him in a rhythm of want as he kissed and teased and promised without words. Roy shifted, tongue darting out to wet, dry lips as he ignored the dull strain in his wrist, losing himself in the heat that spiraled through his core. His erection twitched, already wet at the tip as he thought of Ed's tongue trailing a hot line down his body, before lips closed over the head, sucking and tasting and driving Roy insane. Desperately, he twisted, half-turning into the mattress and burying his face in the pillow to stifle the gasps that tore themselves from him. A surge, hotter, fiercer, shot through him as he pictured Ed sprawled beneath him, hands tangling in the sheets as he bucked his hips, swearing and gasping, slick and ready around Roy's fingers before he could push his way in and finally have what he wanted as Ed arched and writhed and moaned. The image was all it took to bring his orgasm rushing over him. Warmth blazed over his torso and down between his legs as warm fluid spurted over his hand and onto the sheets. His breath was loud in the silence of the room, his body shaking with the sudden ebb of tension. Opening his eyes, Roy wiped his hand on the bed linen, too tired to clean up properly, as lethargy made his limbs heavy. Gradually, the racing of his pulse slowed and his breathing calmed, but it wasn't enough to satisfy him. Something told him it never would be. With a quiet groan, Roy closed his eyes, trying to ignore the murmured thoughts that the one he wanted lay only one door away, separated from him by nothing more than brick and plaster. It was going to be a long night. The morning air nibbled at his skin, sending chills across his flesh. With a scowl, Roy turned up the collar of his greatcoat and shoved his hands deep into his pockets, narrowing his eyes against the wind that whipped along the streets. The search for Carmine had continued throughout the night. All the men they could spare, which was never enough, were combing the city. And as yet, no one had found the elusive woman. Here. Someone nudged him with an elbow, and he looked into Ed's bleary eyes. Desperately, Roy tried to keep his face neutral, as his fantasies sprang immediately to mind, vivid and clear. He had hoped daylight would weaken the images and rob them of their power over him. Instead, he found himself distracted and short-tempered, barely tolerating his present situation. He accepted the coffee cup Ed offered him with a grunt. Shop-bought and strong, it wasn't exactly what he was used to. But right now, he would have drunk warm mud. "Thanks," he murmured, hoping his voice didn't sound too rough as he took a sip, narrowing his eyes as the scalding liquid burned his tongue. His night had been restless. Shallow sleep had been a mere canvas for the erotic twist of his imagination, and the brandy he had consumed only numbed the warnings that Ed was out of bounds and made his reasons for keeping away seem pointless. Several times he had almost given in. It was so easy to tell himself that one night would be enough, that one time with Ed would rid him of this senseless longing. But it was another self-deception. Sometimes he could lie to himself as well as he could manipulate others. In the end, he had managed a few hours of dream-filled sleep, fractured and restless. When he awoke, a gritty headache had pounded through his skull, and his alarm clock told him he was already running late. There wasn't time to do more than take a cold shower and dress before getting to Central Command. The briefing in his office had been short and to the point. They had found nothing. Hughes, Fallman, Fury, and Breida were already on their way to join the first team of soldiers who were searching the southern quadrants of Central. That left the rest of them to take the north side. Hawkeye was standing nearby, taking gulps of tea as Havoc inhaled heavily on his cigarette. Al and Winry were inside the bakery, grabbing a quick breakfast before they got going. "This is pointless," Ed's quiet murmur was matter of fact, and Roy glanced sideways at the younger man. "If the Fuhrer won't give us the warrants to search buildings, then what hope have we got? Unless we literally fall over her, then we won't find her." "We can gather information and maybe get a better idea of where she might be hiding." It was a pathetic reassurance, and even Roy couldn't help but grimace at his own words. Hakuto's superlicious denial of his requests meant the search was nothing more than a farce. Unless they could find some genuine intelligence on Carmine's whereabouts, then they were walking blind. Another sip of coffee was enough to calm his thoughts, as Roy tried to think of the best course of action. Without the right documentation, any privately owned property was out of bounds. But there were plenty of other places in the city to hide. If Carmine was smart, she would be staying on the move and evading the search forces. That meant she would have to risk exposure, which at least increased their chances of catching her out in the open. "We'll split up to cover more ground," he decided, mentally picturing the city as he issued his orders. "Hawkeye, Havoc, take from here to the river. Al and Winry, you go from here to Central Command. Ed and I will head west. We will meet back at the office at the end of the day." The others nodded their agreement before heading their own separate ways, each intent on finding any clue to Carmine's location. Roy hoped, rather than believed, they'd have some luck. Central was too sprawling and convoluted. She could be hiding in plain sight and they'd never find her. Perhaps if they got lucky, they would be able to confirm Al's sighting at the station, but beyond that, he doubted they'd have any success. It galled him that the Fuhrer always had to be such a fool. At every turn, Roy found himself blocked by the petty whims of a power-hungry idiot. He seemed to have no concept of what was at stake. What kind of man was happy to wait until there was another attack to find a dangerous criminal? Resigned, he set to work, letting Fullmetal take one side of the street while he took the other. Every shop and residence was a dead end, and all most people had to offer was a sneering disdain for the ineptitude of the military. Gritting his teeth tight, Roy gathered the last of his patience as he bade a particularly vocal shopkeeper farewell and thanked her for her time. Ed was right. This was pointless. They'd stand more chance of finding Carmine by putting on a blindfold and picking a random location on a map. The morning had crept away, and Roy's feet were reminding him keenly that new boots were not the best footwear for pacing the streets. He was pretty sure he had at least one bleeding blister, and his grim mood was turning truly foul when he looked around and realized Ed was gone. The plaza which they had been canvassing was almost empty, bar a few shoppers, and there was no sign of the blonde alchemist anywhere. With a scowl, Roy walked down the street towards Central Command, a prickling unease chasing its way up and down his spine. 12 days had passed since Ed's collapse, and he had been surprisingly accommodating about the doctor's orders of constant supervision. Not once had he tried to give whoever was watching him the slip, until now. Cursing under his breath, Roy dug his hands into his pocket, his fingers itching to snap as his stride ate up the pavement. "I had an idea." Ed's voice drifted out of an alley to Roy's right, and he glanced up in surprise, squelching the rush of light relief as he saw him leaning against a wall. His lean form seemed completely at ease, and it was hard not to admire just how easily Ed could fit in sometimes. Every soldier, no matter how used to civilians, had a certain straight-cut air that gave them away. Even when they were out of uniform, you could pick them out in a crowd. Ed wasn't like that. He stood out, sure enough, but it was a different kind of disparity that set him apart. "Why do I get the feeling it's an idea I won't like?" Roy replied. Central's labyrinthian back streets confused even him, but he didn't need a map to know where they'd end up if they went down the alley in which Ed loitered. It was the gateway to the darkest part of the city, a part where the only successful urban renewal would be some kind of flamethrower. It was a disease-infested nest of crime, a core of grim humanity that not even the police dared to enter. "Look, there's only one person in Central I've been able to find who has any idea about the grave robbings, and he knew more than just a bit." Ed reached into his pocket before tossing something towards Roy. It glimmered gold as it arced through the air, and he caught it deftly in his right hand. "I found that on a man who attacked me in the alleys around there. He was one of Carmine's thugs." Uncurling his fingers, Roy saw a gold band, simple and slightly worn. It looked like a wedding ring, and when he examined it, he saw the letters V and N were carved into the surface. Dane, the barkeeper at the Grindle, knew what those letters stood for, and they scared him. Ed shrugged and looked over his shoulder, as though the gaping maw of the alley behind him was no more threatening than the open street. "It's all we've got to go on, and it's got to be a better shot than knocking on people's doors and listening to them bitch." Turning the ring over, Roy frowned. The weight of it was right, but there was something about the metal, a faintly greasy alchemical feel to it, that set his teeth on edge. Tipping it toward the light, he looked at the inside surface, scowling at the tiny arrays that had been carved into the rim. It would have taken a professional jeweler to make those delicate marks so flawlessly, and they had to be recently engraved. Gold was too soft, and it wouldn't take much to smudge the outlines. "What are these for?" Ed looked up at his question, a puzzled frown cleaving his brow as he pushed away from the wall. Gingerly he reached out, hesitating for a fraction of a second, before picking up the ring from Roy's gloved palm. Roy watched in interest as Ed twisted the metal band around, his lips moving a little to silent words as he glanced over the arrays. "I didn't even see them," he confessed. "The four arrays are all touching, acting like a chain. It's definitely Carmine's kind of alchemy." It was like being told half of the story, Roy realized. Ed could tell him little parts, and he would be left to find the significance. Every day, Ed seemed to hand him another piece of the puzzle, gradually sharing small details of the big picture. It might not be the same as being asked for help outright, but he had to acknowledge that at least Ed hadn't gone off alone. It would have been easier for him to just slip away, wending his way deeper into the heart of Central's underworld, until he was too far gone for Roy to chase. Instead, he'd shared information. It wasn't exactly asking permission to go to the Grindle. That just wasn't how Ed did things. But it was a lot better than the alternative. Still, what he was suggesting had the potential to border on suicide. It wasn't only the police that feared to tread in the grim knot of streets in this part of town. Anyone with a uniform was a target for the desperate. A man was likely to be killed for the shoes on his feet and the spare change in his pocket if he stumbled blindly into that deadly maze. Military clothes, or even just the glint of a pocket watch, was enough bait for most. And God knew how many bodies were simply never found. Roy grimaced, knowing that for all its danger, Ed was right. Any source of information, however tenuous, needed to be followed up. Besides, what better place to hide from the authorities than an area of the city that kept them at bay by reputation alone? All right, he finally agreed. Like you said, it's our best shot at finding out where Carmine's gone. He gestured ahead, buttoning up his greatcoat to at least hide the evidence of his rank, before following along in Ed's wake. The air stank of damp and filth, cloying his nose and throat. The narrow walls meant they had to walk in single file, and the bricks ran wet with stale water from the roofs high above their heads, despite the lack of rain. It was as if the world was being pinched down to this narrow path, twisting and turning with only a stripe of sky above to remind them that there was more to the city than this foulness. More than once he stumbled over things best not looked at. Stray cats yowled, splashing through puddles as they hurried to escape these intruders in their territory, and Roy distinctly heard someone curse and spit in their direction from one of the side alleys. But he didn't turn to look. It was a tense, uncomfortable feeling, to know that he didn't belong here. It was the kind of place the military were keen to say didn't exist. In their minds, Central was a haven of peace and prosperity. It was as if they could only see the distant vision of perfection, and nearby reality was lost in the haze. A dead dog, bloated and decaying, filled the close space with the smell of rot. Rats scampered along the walls, climbing broken gutters up towards the clean air. Looking over his shoulder, Roy realized that they were already too far into the warren of alleyways to see the main street. If he lost Ed now, he'd never find his way back. "How do you know this place so well?" he asked, unable to keep the faint horror and disapproval out of his voice. Ed's stride was confident, and there was no sign of the tension in his body that was twisting Roy's muscles tight. It was almost as though Ed believed that he was the most dangerous thing the shadows harbored, as if he honestly thought that he could take anything that came their way. "I just do," Ed replied with a shrug, turning a corner and narrowing his eyes at the gloom. "People here see and hear things that your average citizen doesn't even acknowledge. It's like the center of the wheel. If you look long and hard enough, you'll find someone who'll answer your questions." "Unless you get your throat slit first," Roy mumbled, pausing as Ed stopped and cocked his head to one side. Holding his breath, Roy strained his ears, trying to pick out what had made Ed falter, but there was nothing. The drip of water counted off a steady beat, the pulse of this place. Rats scrabbled and squeaked, but that was a natural noise. Unforced and organic. "What's wrong?" Ed shifted uncomfortably, his eyes narrowing as his gaze swept the dusky shadows. "It's too quiet." The scuff of his boots in the muck was loud, his relaxed posture fading away as he clenched his hands into fists. "The Grindle is only a couple of alleys over. You can normally hear it by now, and there should be more people around." Roy glanced about, noticing the shredded cardboard shelters, rank blankets strewn in the puddles, as though their occupants had fled in a hurry. There was a watchful feeling in the air, as though even the creatures had hunkered down in their lairs to escape the goings-on. Unconsciously, he tensed his hands, thumb and forefinger pressed together in preparation for an attack. With the jerk of his head, Ed motioned him forward, keeping his back carefully against the blank wall as he searched for any signs of danger. The calm, easy to ignore at first, was beginning to get on Roy's nerves now that he knew it was not normal. It felt like the place was holding its breath in anticipation. He winced as glass crunched beneath his feet, shattering the silence with musical notes. "This place is empty," Ed murmured as the peace resettled around them. "I've never seen it like it."
"Maybe there was a raid?"
Roy suggested, though it seemed unlikely. If the police had been here, there would have been boot prints in the mud and more signs of destruction. Instead, it felt like a ghost town. The few possessions people owned had been abandoned as if nothing mattered but saving their own skin.
"No, they were running away from something."
"Carmine?"
Ed just shrugged. "Could have been anything. Just because there's a lot of crooks hiding out here doesn't mean they're all hardened criminals. Most of them are just homeless. They wouldn't have the strength to fight off a child, let alone a powerful alchemist or gang."
Rounding the corner, Roy saw a squat, ugly building nestled in a broader street among the alleys. Like the winding path they had just taken, the place seemed to be deserted. The wind rattled old abandoned newspapers and chased fallen leaves over the stone ground. A bottle clinked against the wall, chiming as an enterprising rat drank the dregs of liquor from the glass lip. The lights of the bar were on, glowing harsh light behind the patina of grime on the windows. Yet the place was eerily quiet. No silhouettes moved behind the panes of glass, and there was no chatter or laughter, or even the roar of a brawl in progress. The front door was shut tight against the world, but Ed didn't bother with it, instead skirting the walls until they stood at the rear of the tumble-down place. Here there were dustbins overflowing with leftovers and broken bottles. A cat glared at them from one good eye, hissing as they approached and standing sentry over its dinner. One or two tiles lay smashed on the floor, bright orange terracotta in the gloom. The back door itself was slightly open, showing an inch or two of shadowy promise around its threshold. Cautiously, Ed pushed it open, grimacing as the wood hit something with a meaty-sounding thunk. Ed frowned, glancing quickly in Roy's direction.
"I think whatever made the people in the alley run happened here," he said quietly. "If anyone was conscious, we'd have been confronted by now."
Nodding in agreement, Roy put his shoulder to the door and helped Ed shove, pushing aside whatever blocked their way. Ponderously, it opened, revealing the dingy kitchen and the sprawling form on the floor. When alive, the man had been massive, probably close to Armstrong's size and strength. His shaved head was covered in blood, but it didn't hide the tattoos that curled their way over his scalp.
"Fuck," Ed muttered, bending down to check his pulse and scowling when he found nothing.
"He's not been dead that long. He's not cold yet." Grimly, Roy looked around, taking in the broken bottles and shattered furniture. It was hard to tell if there had been a struggle or if the place was normally in this kind of disarray. The floor was tacky with blood and spilt alcohol. The two scents, tangy and sharp, battled for supremacy in the stale air. The other side of the bar was littered with bodies. None of them stirred, and Roy carefully picked his way through. The hope that one of them had just passed out from the booze dwindled as each prone form turned out to be pulseless. Some had bled, but most of them looked as though they hadn't put up a fight, their faces relaxed as if they only slept. A woman, probably younger than Ed, was the one who had bled the most. From the way she lay, it looked as though she had lunged for the door, desperate to escape. Crouching next to her body, he brushed her hair aside, sighing sadly at the youthfulness of her face. Cornflower blue eyes were open, staring at nothing as her lips parted on a scream that hadn't been made. A knife between her shoulder blades had stopped her from finding freedom, and a quick slash across her delicate neck had ended her fight.
A footprint, petite enough to be female, was imprinted in the stain of her blood, and Roy looked up at the blank facade of the closed front door. Had they just come in here, slaughtered everyone, and then walked out into broad daylight? If it had been Carmine, then this was brutal. She'd killed some of them with a knife, and as for the others? He glanced across the peaceful face of a young man. His skin was pallid and his eyes closed, as if he'd lost consciousness at a simple touch. It was hard not to draw the parallels between what happened here and what Ed had done to him all those days ago at his home. After all, if their energy could feed her, then why let the opportunity pass? "Money's still here," Ed called out. "This wasn't a robbery." "I think it was about keeping people quiet," Roy said, eyeing the narrow staircase in the corner that led up to the second floor. "You said Dane knew something about Carmine and the grave robbers. What exactly did he say?" "Something about Vivus Nix. It terrified him. He said that he knew what was happening, but not who was doing it. That was before I showed him the ring," Ed sighed, reaching under the bar and pulling out a sawed-off shotgun. "Looks as if he knew a bit more than he was letting on." Roy got to his feet and looked back at where Ed stood, checking the gun for ammunition. "I think she came here to make sure he kept quiet, and everyone else was just..." He shrugged hopelessly. "Collateral damage." A noise from overhead made them both freeze, eyeing the ceiling with trepidation. Quietly, Ed put the gun down on the bar, leaving his hands free for alchemy as he silently crept toward the tightly twisting stairway. "Stay here," he whispered, moving stealthily upwards into the shadows as Roy scowled. Before he could argue, Ed was gone from sight. He couldn't even hear his footsteps. He half expected a flash of power or a cry of pain, but there was nothing. Seconds dragged by, and with the passing of each one, Roy grew more restless. If Ed had been attacked, he would have heard something, wouldn't he? A sound of alarm, or at least a thump of a body hitting the floor. Just as he was about to charge upstairs and see what was going on for himself, Ed's voice drifted down to him. "It's just birds. Someone left the window open. Looks like the crows smelled the blood." "You are sure it's clear?" Roy called up, glancing over his shoulder warily as he crossed his arms and waited. The last thing he wanted was to be ambushed by a killer waiting patiently for their moment. "Completely empty," Ed promised, as he came back down the stairs with something sparkling in his hands. "But there might be someone who can tell us what happened here." He held the object for Roy to see, and the pendant swung gently from its fine silver chain, sending rainbows around the room. Its simple beauty was at odds with the massacre all around. Diamonds or crystals encrusted the outer ring of the pendant, and a solid silver star hung in the center of the ring. "I've seen something like this before," Roy said gently, taking it from Ed as his memory faltered. At his touch, the star pivoted along its horizontal axis, inverting the shape. "I just can't think where." "Sally gives something like that to all of her employees," Ed said, and something about his tone of voice made Roy look up, one eyebrow raised in question. Ed looked uncomfortable, a faint blush staining his cheeks as he elaborated. "Sally runs a high-class brothel called Riders. If a boy or girl is wearing a necklace like that, it's a sign of quality." Ed motioned to the people on the floor, indicating their tattered clothes and grime-streaked appearances. "I doubt that belonged to anyone here." Roy stayed quiet for a moment, trying desperately not to ask how Ed knew so much about Central's seedy side. It was disturbing to think that it was under his command that Ed had become intimately knowledgeable about thugs and hookers. At the look on his face, Ed rolled his eyes and snatched the pendant back. "The only reason I had to know was because there's always at least one of Sally's girls at those fucking boring diplomatic functions you make me go to sometimes." A quick grin darted across his face. "Their conversation is much more interesting than anything the Fuhrer has to say." Roy smothered an incredulous chuckle. "I'll bet. So, you think this belongs to one of Sally's girls?" Ed shook his head. "No, one of her boys. The girls wear gold jewelry, the men silver. The star shows whether or not they're for hire. If it's point down, they're taken. Ed looked around the destruction. His face darkened with anger at what had happened. I just don't understand why they'd be here. This isn't exactly their normal kind of territory. Maybe they came here before work, or were stopping off on their way home. Of course, it could have been stolen. Maybe no one from the brothel was ever here. Doubtful, Ed murmured. Any thief who wasn't a total novice would be able to tell that this was just glass and silver. Sally protects her people. It'd be more trouble than it's worth to steal from them. One of them was here, and they managed to get away. Then we need to find them, and quickly. Roy grimaced as a stray terrier trotted through the door they'd left open, and bent its muzzle to the blood, lapping happily. For all we knew, Carmine or whoever killed these people is already on their trail. Where would they go if they needed protection? Straight to Ryder's. It's home for most of them, and there's safety in numbers. Then that's where we're going, Roy ordered, picking his way over the bodies towards the exit. And we'd better hope we're not too late.